Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey, for that wonderful introduction. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me here from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on this good, green, and blue planet Earth. Thank you for joining me for another webcast. It is just a wonderful day on this sixth day of December 2012. I am exuberant. I am happy. I have found pictures that I did not know existed anymore. And every day for the month of December, what I plan to do is I'm going to put up another picture and just give you, I was just going to type something, but I got to give you a verbal overview of what the heck was going on back then. I even got a picture of Mark Ramsey's family, some of his family members in Chicago, that I'm going to share with you. And I'm so glad that you can share with me on this today's webcast. Thank you for joining me on today's webcast. And with keeping with the nature of things, you know, the way I do things, I'm going to play some music because it's Christmas time and you guys know how I get involved in it. And so I've been going to my music collection and I'm going to choose some of the best music that I have in store for you. Turn your speakers up. You're going to enjoy this. All right. It's from an album, one of my favorite, from Handel's Messiah, A Soulful Celebration. Just a great conglomerate of music singing about the birth of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and done in such a practical way from this wonderful piece put together by Quincy Jones. I hope that you appreciate this. God bless you. way back in the day. Comfort ye my people. 5 minutes and 44 seconds of just soulful music taken from a real great album, Comfort Ye My People. Who was that singing? That was a duet by Vanessa Bell Armstrong and Daryl Cooley. That's right. And this compilation put together, Handel's Messiah, Soulful Celebration by, as I said earlier, Quincy Jones, had a lot of folk on here. And so during the whole month, I'm going to be featuring this album, playing a cut as I do the webcast from day to day. And I hope that you gain some enjoyment out of it. If this is not the kind of music that you like, I'm sorry. It's what I listen to. At Christmas time, I have Handel's Messiah. I listen to that, done in the very classical European way. And I also listen to it in a very soulful celebration. I'm a black man. I'm a Negro, if you want to. I'm an African American. What you want to call me? I dig who I am. I like that kind of music. That's not, as some people would think it, a bunch of uncoordinated music put together. No, it's a soulful celebration of artists that Quincy put together way back in, I think this is 1999 when this album was made. And time this season comes around, I play it, and I love to play it in the little Lexus that I drive, in the little convertible. I just get in there and I drive around the city at night, you know, like on a Friday night, and I'll go out and just to go out to dinner. That's what I think I'll do this Friday. Just pick a restaurant that I've never eaten at in Los Angeles and listen to my music and enjoy the evening. So I really do. I miss having my wife at my side. That is really a nice moment to have that, especially during Christmas time. I want you to know that I love this time of the year. It's a time of the year when there's a lot of tears flowing because, you know, you remember things. Isn't that a beautiful picture of her that I put up on the website for today? Please, you have my permission to copy these pictures and keep them. I hope that when I pass away, that my daughters will find, I'm going to have to give them a clip of all these pictures on it, and so that they will each have, and even my grandchildren, have a recorded, something to record that that I love my family. And you know, I'm just so happy during this time of the year. I'm so happy I don't know what to do with it. I have one more week. I have to get ready for some final exams in the college. And I want to say to my students that listen to me, it has been a marvelous semester with the students of philosophy that I teach out at Harvard College. I want to start with each class and thank them for the work that they've done. I'm going to issue the grades, tally up all of the counts and see who did what. And my first class, philosophy of religion, where we looked at the world's major religions and had some very fruitful, lively discussions about those things. And then an intro to philosophy, where we end up with Friedrich Hegel, where we end up with the dialectic. That final exam is arguing themselves out of compromising. That's always a lot of fun. And then, of course, my Tuesday night ethics class, which was very stimulating to me. Marvelous to look in the faces of the students as you teach them and to share a little part of your life with those very students. It's marvelous. I will be long gone when they're in their 40s and 50s, and rightly so, because it will be their time to live and my time to rest, but just a joyful experience teaching them. A wonderful experience. I'm looking forward to next semester and all of that, and I'm just looking forward to a rest of a marvelous life. And I like to share this with those of you that listen to me, that I want you to be encouraged about sharing a witness of your faith. Maybe people did not respond the way they used to in the years before, in responding to listening to the good message of love, because there's not very many Christians that manifest that good message of love. I think that if you're going to share anything about your faith in God, faith in the Lord, that is, that love leads the way in doing that. Love leads the way, because if there is no love, then as you look at the pictures day after day and see the people that I've met and the people that has influenced me to continue to teach, to continue to preach, to continue to love on the level that I do. I'm not bragging. I don't think this is extraordinary. I think that this is very commonplace, that if you're a believer, that the love that God has shed abroad in your heart remains there year after year after year after year. It never changes. It remains consistent. It remains impactful. I'm saddened by certain friends that don't want to hang out with me, fellowship with me, to be a part of my life. It really hurts me, but I have to go on because I do have other people that do want me around them. And I love that. I'm going to manifest the same love that I am. I'm not going to pretend. I don't know how to pretend. I guess if you could really ask me to give a classifying element of what I didn't like about evangelicalism is the pretense that goes on in the ranks of evangelicals. They pretend a lot. Instead of them being blatant and transparent about their lives, they pretend to love you. And you can't do that. I have a great picture here that I'm going to put up, and you're going to see it in the cavalcade of pictures of me and Elsie Hebert. And I think the picture was taken somewhere in my home by one of my daughters when Elsie came by to visit me, and we were hugging each other, I think in the living room, sitting down next to each other, and we just hugged each other. Somebody said, "Let me take a picture," and click, it's right there. And that same love that was taken that day exists between Mr. Hebert and myself. A father and son kind of connection that is so unique, and the camera caught it. I have other pictures that I can relate to that I'd love to show you. But my computer, for some reason, just locked right here, so I can't raise it. I don't know why, but it just won't act right. I have to shut down the computer. But these pictures will, I hope and pray, I kind of introduce you to something that Zarek said the other day. Zarek's contacted me yesterday before I was going to school, and he said that he wanted to, and I don't know why he would want to do this. I really don't. He wants to make a documentary of my journey as a pastor. Everyone knows by now that I'm officially retired as a congregational pastor. I'm not going to do it anymore. If someone offered me $50,000 a year to take a church to pastor it, I would have to turn it down. Number one, I'm not saying that I don't need the money. I'd love to have the money, and I'd love to start all over again in a secret part of my mind, teaching and preaching and doing all of that. But I really believe that that day and age is gone. If the people didn't get it by now, and that's why I'm so enthusiastic about my web ministry here, because I can continue these things going on through this ministry where I can reach people. Isn't this amazing? I can come right into your home, right into your cars. Guillermo, thank you so much. Guillermo showed me where I can come right into your phone as you're driving, going to work, or doing something. You can download my work and listen to it right there the same day. Amazing, this technology that they have today. So I don't need to go and get another building and have you come and sit in front of me. God is so good. I mean, I had such a great Bible study time last night. We were speaking about eschatology, and we ended up looking at some scriptures that I haven't looked at in a long time. It was exciting looking into the face of Mark Ramsey, my radio producer, and seeing him gaining more insight from the Word of God. It is amazing how we all were just vibing together with open Bibles and looking at reality. And then, of course, I ended up by showing them a fake reality of Kenneth Hagin and his Rodney Brown experience of bubbling out your belly and laughing like an ape. And I said, this is what the church has come to. And more horrible things than that. It's been kind of nice because it's been silent out there about what these churchmen are doing. If anything, people should be showing people how to love. How to love people that are different from you. How to love people that don't agree the way that you agree, that don't believe the way that you believe. How to love them anyhow. And not just during this special time of the year. I'm talking about for any individual to really gravitate towards the love of God in their lives. And this gravitation towards the love of God is what we want to do. As a matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? I just thought about something. You know, I've been driving my car is a 2002, and the antenna motor that puts up the antenna on my car, I'm going to have to go get that fixed tomorrow, early tomorrow morning. I'm going to drive it to Lexus, and I'm going to say, hey, fix that, because I need to listen to good music in my radio and the news when I want to hear it. I wasn't going to get it repaired, but I made a commitment to myself to keep that little car at the top of the chart. I have to do it. So I have to spend money to get that antenna fixed, because I don't want to drive around with a broken antenna. If the Lord comes back, I want him to find everything that I have intact. My home, my life, the way I live. I want him to come back and find me loving everybody. I want him to come back and find me loving. That's the only gift that I want from him this Christmas. If someone were to give me a Christmas gift and say, you can really help out PJ by letting him love you. Letting him look in your face and hold you, love you, and say it's great knowing you. It's great knowing your children. It's great seeing your children, you and your children. I think about when I was, when I had my associate pastor, Greg Owens, and I found a picture of his son, Glendon, I was sitting down talking to me, and the way Glendon would look at me and smile. I haven't seen Glendon since he's grown up and become a man. I haven't seen him. I haven't heard his voice. I missed all the teenage years. I missed everything. And now I understand he's a grown guy. That would be a great gift for me to see that guy. Yeah, man. Love. Love is like, you know, seeing my grandchildren. Whenever I see them and they bring this smile to my face, to see my name going on in them. I thank my son-in-law all the time. He says, I thank you for letting me be a part of your family. It means an awful lot to me. Love, love. When I speak with my daughters and I speak to them, and because I have memories of them, and you will see pictures of them playing with me in the backyard, badminton. Yeah, when they were little girls. I'm going to put them up, pictures, so that you can see that this is the way it is. It's an ongoingness. It's something that I want to instill in many of my brothers and sisters, that we need to keep this tradition going. I know there's so much filth out there. There's so much ambiguity out there. There's so much of a decline of the divine command theory of doing right, living right. Here lately, I've had discussions with people that were telling me about sex as a thing that you do with anyone at any particular time just to please yourself, because everybody wants it and it's all about getting it free. You don't have to pay for it. Young men tell me, PJ, you don't have to pay for anything. Just go on out there. They'll give it to you. Oh, my God. What a waste. What a waste of energy. What a waste of... I was watching a movie. I forget the name of the movie. It was a Barbara Stanwyck movie on Turner Movie Classics this morning. I got up, and I guess I was looking at an old movie last night. I just turned the TV on, and a new movie came on as I was making coffee and making some breakfast. And it was a movie with Barbara Stanwyck, with this young man. He was Italian and Catholic, and his father raised him to play the violin, and he wanted to be a boxer. And of course, he's 20 years old, and he's at that age where he's trying to find what he wanted to do. And classical Halloween, I'm not Halloween, but Hollywood movie, you know, just the guy that wanted to be something, wanted to be rich and famous. So he becomes a boxer, and he does that. And you know, when I watched the film, I said, boy, that's what Hollywood does best. They take a storyline, blow it up, and they show it, but it had a moral ending to it. These movies today don't have a moral ending. It's just oblivion. It's ended up with everybody dead, blood splattered everywhere, and with our youngsters thinking, hey, I'm going to smash the next person I see. When you think of our nation today, when they show beatdowns of people, you know, beating other people down is what brings pleasure and entertainment to a lot of people. That's unfortunate. Well, what I'm going to do today, as I end up, because what? I'm about 25 minutes into the webcast, and I got a lot of things to do. And but I do want to spend some adequate time with you. And as I do that, let's see. What I'd like to do... No, I want to close that. I'd like to go into the book of Ephesians. That's what I'd like to do. And I'd like to start with chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there has been made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you need, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations were not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles, the prophets, in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ through the Bible, through the gospel. Excuse me. These are great words. And what Paul is saying is that throughout the ages, or throughout all the generations, this was not made known. He doesn't say has not been revealed, because it has been revealed. But making known by revelation is the source of making known by preaching. In other words, the proclamation of God's good favor to all mankind has come to the Gentiles through the proclamation. And a lot of times we have to preach now with our lives. Listen to me. These young people are not going to listen to you if you tell them that you're a member of a church, because they know what the preachers in the churches have done. I used to believe that. I used to believe that that was a good modus operandi to operate by. Now I don't believe that. I believe that the church is the last entity that you present to young people. You've got to present to them a life of love. And as you present this life of love, you want to present it in such a way that there is no phoniness about you, because they don't want to hear about your religiosity. They don't want to hear about your self-righteousness. They don't want to even come close to that. They want to come in contact with the genuineness of your faith. That's what Paul is saying. The former life has been done away with, and now it is made known unto the sons of men and men at their state of birth, and contrasted with those illuminated by the Holy Spirit. When you look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, we find a very interesting verse of scripture. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write, this is what John the Revelator says, write in a book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. See what he was told? Take these words, and so that they can be proclaimed to the nations. In Matthew 16:17, Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, he says, God is the one that reveals it. But there has to be a proclamation. And so we must become those kinds of individuals that will definitely proclaim the word of God. See, the mystery of the call of the Gentiles, of which Paul is speaking about here, was not unknown to the Old Testament prophets. They knew what this was all about. In Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6, it says, also the foreigners who joined themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant. Foreigners were involved in that. And you can see in Isaiah 49 and 6, look what it says. It says, he says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Did you see what God says? That this love of God and love that Christ has put in my heart is for everybody. I have Muslims taking my philosophy classes. I love them. I don't think negative of them because they don't embrace the religion that I embrace. I love them. I cannot understand anyone that says that they have the love of Christ in them and they are not making this love known. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter was reflecting on the vision that God had gave him, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. And the three men that was looking for them were not Jews. God said to Peter, get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings. God was saying, go with these Gentiles and do what I'm telling you to do, and drop that biasness and that bigotry. That, you see, the church is full of bigotry. If you're not Baptist, if you don't get your hair cut right, if you're listening to that music, they even have some churches that if you go there and you have your hair longer than it's supposed to be. Let me tell you something. I go to the college every day, and sometimes I dress like the youngsters. I don't mean with my pants sagging. I don't do that. But I dress in the, hey, And I tell him, I said, I kind of like the way you guys dress. It's kind of nice. Did you know that I see older guys my age or older dressing like in the 50s? Come on, what happened? If you're still alive, get with it. Look at Acts chapter 20. No, Acts chapter 11, verses 18 through 21. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was on them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. This is what we have to do. See, they probably did not know that the Gentiles were to be admitted without circumcision. But they were there to be there on that level with the Jews and partake into the grace of God. The gift of the Spirit in its fullness, when it comes upon the hearts of people that are destined to hear the word of God, will become a reservoir for them to grow in Christ. And the epithet is they will be holy. That marks the special consecration of the New Testament prophets who were here meant by the Spirit compared with the Old Testament prophets. In other words, translating, Gentiles are now fellow members of the very same body and fellow partakers of the oldest, well, that's what the oldest manuscript reads. And that's a wonderful thing. And I'm excited to live in this day because I want to become a catalyst for the younger generation that will no longer go to church. And you know, I don't mind a youngster telling me at 15 that he doesn't believe in the God that I believe in because he sees the inconsistencies of the people that talk about God all around him. He sees it. And I didn't tell him, well, boy, you got to find God for yourself. I didn't do that. No. Because you don't find God for looking for him like that. You only find God when the human psyche comes to a place when you require him to reveal himself to you. That requirement came to me when I was a very young man. Around 22, 23. That's when it hit me. I knew that I needed God because I wanted to love rightly. Remember, I came up during the 60s when the flower power, when all the narcotics came out, when everybody was having sex with everybody. And my parents and my grandparents sent me to church. I remember that. And there were certain things that I remember when I was in Sunday school, thou shalt not. The Ten Commandments rain heavy on me. I said, oh, well, if there's a God and God said you shouldn't do that, why are all these people doing it? Then I learned the difference of people that knew God and that were influenced by God from the difference of people that were not. So I picked up along the way that the people that do things like this without regard to what they're doing it in no shame, braggadociously living this way, that these individuals were quite different from me. So when God revealed himself to me and I met him in an a priori way, in other words, he revealed himself to me. I can't prove it to you, but when he revealed himself to me, after I had called out and said, help me, because I don't want to do anything that offends you. He revealed himself to me, and he's been my Lord, Savior, my guide, my counselor, my comforter for all of these years. From 1967, when he revealed himself to me in my mind, up until this present year, coming towards Christmas in 2012. And with that, I like that. Coming towards Christmas, I think I'll let you hear this cut by Diane Reeves, one of my favorite female jazz singers. And I don't like all of her music, but this cut I especially like, and I hope you appreciate it. As a matter of fact, it's not called Coming on Christmas. It's called Misty, and I think that you will get something out of this. It's kind of reminiscent of the season coming up. Diane Reeves, from an album entitled The Best of Diane Reeves. Thank you so much for coming to my website. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow and share some more good words with you. Till that time, stay in the Word and smile this season. God bless.
Thank you so much.